The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The walls feel like they are closing in.
But as the walls close in around the president,
Donald Trump feels the walls closing in.
I think this is a guy who feels like the walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in on him.
Because the walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in on the president.
Now the walls appear to be closing in.
Really kind of the walls closing in on him.
The walls are closing in because the walls are indeed closing in.
I think at this point the walls are spinning.
The legal walls are closing in.
The walls are closing in on President Trump.
The walls, meanwhile, are closing in on the president of the United States.
The walls closing in on President Donald Trump.
It appears that the walls are closing in on this president.
Feels that the walls are closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
And the walls are closing in.
And the walls are closing in.
That the walls are closing in on the president.
Are the walls closing in?
The walls are closing in on the presidency.
It says as the walls begin to close around him.
Is the political walls closing in on him?
This is a president that feels the walls closing in.
The walls are closing in on Donald Trump.
I think the walls are finally closing in.
The walls have been closing in on Donald Trump this entire time.
The walls are closing in around him.
The walls.
The walls.
The walls.
The walls.
The walls.
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 And the walls.
The walls.
The walls.
The walls.
Walls
are closing.
Closing in.
Closing.
Closing in.
Closing in.
Closing in on.
It's closing in.
The walls
are closing in on President Donald Trump.
He's not looking forward to any of it. He's horrified. He's just talking big. The walls are closing in.
That Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
A little fun to end the week with. The walls, the walls, the walls. Closing in on the 47th president of the United States. As of, 2.5 weeks ago? Seems like so much has happened even since that time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this final show of the work week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. It's Friday, so we've got the World Watch segment. We've got that lined up. Also, we've got quite a few carryover clips from the Bobby Kennedy speech he gave in August on health and what he hopes to do about it if he's appointed as that HHS secretary. And then, too, I might have scooted it down in my notes, but I also, of course, will update you on all of the drama with Gates withdrawing his name as the nominee for the attorney general. And President Trump, I think it took him like 2-3 hours before he announced Pam Bondi to fill that slot. So, as I say, lots going on in the news. But just to follow on that that cold open there, and that psalm that I read through the other day, or part of it anyway, I think it was on Tuesday's show, Psalm 37, where it says that God just laughs at these evildoers, all of their plotting, all of their scheming. And God, finally the tables turn. Sometimes you have to wait and wait and wait. But he says, he assures us in that psalm that he will turn the tables on those wicked plotters and laugh at them. How ridiculous is all of that commentary that you just saw there? He was this is something we heard not just over the course of a week. I mean, this went on for years. For years and years and years. They said it was over. They said he was finished. They said the walls were closing in. They said he was going to prison. They hoped that he was assassinated. In the Psalms of David book, my father says, we need godly perspective on this sinful world. It can be discouraging to see evil spreading and the wicked prospering. And just people suffering. This psalm is a powerful corrective filled with comfort, reassurance, and encouragement. so much evil. And it's interesting, too, in thinking about Matt Gaetz and allegations. I mean, where the allegations really have staying power, it's with people that threaten their power. Brett Kavanaugh, they made up the fact that he was a gang rapist. And the man's now in the Supreme Court. They didn't want to lose a majority in the Supreme Court. And so they made up all these allegations. Of course, Donald Trump, I mean, he takes the cake. They had allegations coming out of the woodwork from 30 years ago to try to destroy him, to try to make sure that the walls closed in on him. And then with Gaetz, of course, a 2-year investigation by the DOJ, by Biden's DOJ. Well, maybe it started with Bill Barr, but I think it carried over into Biden's DOJ. No criminal charges. That was what, 3 years ago? And yet here come the allegations again. Now, in the case of Hunter, it wasn't even allegations. I mean, it's all there on video. He recorded his addictions. He recorded his crimes. We have audio recording of him shaking down some of his clients overseas, saying, "The big guy's here. Dad is here. You know, we better get you to respond." I'll play that for you in just a second. But you pretty much know that if the allegations, if they're there, they stay. They're all anonymous sources, okay? There's no proof. It's not like a trail of proof on video on your own laptop. It's just people coming forward. One witness in the case of Kavanaugh. Yeah, he gang raped us. Just one woman out of nowhere after all these years. That's how you have a pretty good indication that it's intended to smear, to destroy, to assassinate someone's character. I mean, they play from the same playbook over and over again. Psalm 37, verse 20, it says, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke," it says. "Into smoke shall they consume away." God will take care of it in the end. That's where he wants our focus to be. Think about the end, or in the case of what we've gone through on this program so many times, think about the prophecies and what God says that he will do. Think about the many institutions, deep staters, radical leftists, communists, the dear leader. Think about all that was aligned against Donald Trump. The walls were closing in. And then he became the 47th president of the United States. And of course, the truth of it is, he should have just been 45 all the way through to right now, because they stole the election in 2020. Verse 22 here says, "For such as he, blessed of him, shall," stepping on my cord here, hold on. "For such as he, blessed of him, shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off." Think about how long it seemed that the dear leader and all of his lieutenants, think about how long they were prospering, and how many of God's people, knowing these prophecies, said in their hearts, at least, "How much longer can this go on?" My father said after the 2016 election that had Hillary Clinton gotten in there, that may have been the end of the republic. And so, yeah, Jeroboam interrupted their plotting and their scheming for just a few years. I mean, he had to withstand just withering persecution. And then, of course, the COVID attack, the bioweapon. They weaponized that so that they could steal the election. And then we've had God allowed the election steal. I mean, this is some, like we've covered this week, this is some bitter, bitter affliction. And now 4 years of this fake presidency, 4 years of these evildoers fundamentally transforming the United States. And God sees it. God is watching. God is observing. God is involved. as we've seen. We just have to wait on him. Daniel 8 tells us that this wickedness, just casting truth to the ground, that it practices and it prospers even. Verse 12, this was the section I read for you the other day, but it says here, the wicked plot against the just and gnashing upon him with his teeth. It says, and the Lord shall laugh at him. The wicked plot, they gnash their teeth. They all sound the alarm, or they speak from the same talking points, the same agenda. The walls are closing in, and God just has a good hearty laugh. These people who really think they're God, they think they're all powerful. I told you yesterday about MSNBC. It's on the chopping block. Comcast, it's so toxic that Comcast wants to get rid of it. And I mean, their big star, Rachel Maddow, she had to take a pay cut from $30 million per year to $25 million. I think she has just one show per week. $25 million. That's like $500,000 per show. And they're an embarrassment. I mean, they're paid handsomely for their propaganda. But how does, no wonder Comcast wants to get rid of it. How can it make money paying out that kind of salary? And then seeing the audience drop off by 40 or 50% since the election, how do you survive? You can't. You can't. So they're, and as far as the tables turning, those, most of those clips you saw there were from MSNBC. For years and years, and you see why, people are leaving them in droves, because they look like fools. God is making them look like fools. The walls are closing in. The walls, walls, walls. Even this gate situation. You wonder if that's because of what we know. God bringing Jeroboam back and God tilting his head to save him from assassination. You wonder if this Gates situation is going to backfire. And yes, you can go through all of these rhinos. I guess there's five of them that said they weren't going to vote for Gates. So not enough Republicans. Republicans? I mean, I have the figures here. Where were they? How many people voted to confirm Eric Holder? This is back in 2009. It was 75 to 21. Obama's wingman. I mean, this makes you think of that quote my father's given, that they would, some of these rhinos would prefer to live under an Obama tyranny than to actually get behind a Trump appointment. These are the times we're living in. Merrick Garland? Oh, that's no problem for Susan Collins. Mitch McConnell? Yeah, just put him on through. Merrick, Eric Holder, these are the people that have weaponized these agencies. And so you've got the rhinos who have no courage, and they can't stand, they still can't stand up to the dear leader. But as Jesse Waters pointed out last night, there's lots of positions underneath the AG or the secretary of this agency that you don't need a Senate to confirm. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Matt Gaetz in some form or fashion come storming back. Now, maybe he just returns to Congress. Maybe he becomes a senator. People have lots of speculation. But as you'll see here in a moment, he's not, he didn't make it through because of the allegations. It's because of what he has repeatedly exposed in these weaponized agencies. That's why they ran him out. That's why they wouldn't confirm him. And this is why they hate Donald Trump. This is why they wanted to destroy him. This is why they said the walls are closing in. If you threaten the deep state and their operatives, they will come after you. If you threaten their hold on power, they will come after you. And from some of the reports I heard, Trump didn't even bring this on. I don't think it was Trump, at least from some of the reports. Some have suggested Trump got on the phone and told him to step aside, Gates. But there's others, and I tend to agree with them, that said that Trump wasn't expecting this and didn't want him to step aside. He was prepared to fight. So who knows? Gates has his reasons. But still, is this going to be another situation where the tables turn in the end? They think they were celebrating on Morning Joe. And there's mixed reviews, I know, on Pam Bondi. Sundance isn't really excited about it. Thinks that she'll capitulate to pressure. But that said, it seems to be going pretty good for Jeroboam and his administration as he's building this large coalition, like we've covered this week. And then these propagandists that you saw in the cold open, I mean, everything that they do, it just backfires. There was actually a headline today at MSNBC. Laken Riley's killer never stood a chance. What? Here, let me help you edit the headline. Laken Riley never stood a chance. Laken Riley's killer never stood a chance. A chance for what? He murdered her. And so then MSNBC, they hurry in the editors to redo the headline. But this is a perfect example of the way these deranged people think. Their automatic knee-jerk reaction to any given controversy is, you side with the killer. The killer never stood a chance. And then they get paid $25 million to spew this kind of thing. And no wonder there's a higher ups at Comcast saying, the numbers don't add up. We can't keep paying Maddow $25 million and then having nobody watch. Fox News reported this morning, retired General Milley says America will be okay under Trump. After reportedly saying he was a fascist to the core, Milley used to head up the Pentagon, or he was the Joint Chiefs guy. Milley, yeah, he's fascist to the core, and now that Trump's in there, well, he's got to pull a Scarborough and Mika and say, you know what, maybe it won't be so bad under Trump. He didn't even believe his propaganda. And this is not an MSNBC host. This is a distinguished military man lying through his teeth. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe a word of it. But they lie. You think they'd be willing to lie about Matt Gaetz? Look at how they lied about Hunter's laptop for 18 months. Well, many of them still lie about the Russia hoax, the Russia collusion hoax. They've been lying about Donald Trump for 9 years. They've done everything under the sun to try to close the walls in on the people they hate. And God says, look, just rest in the eternal. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. You don't have to worry about these wicked evildoers. Just put your faith and your trust in God. Put your faith in God's prophecies. God sees. God is observing. God knows. This is from an article my father wrote some years ago about the desires of your heart. You can read about that in verse 4 of this same psalm. But he talked about how that as a ministerial trainee back in the 1970s, it was a hectic, stressful job. He didn't feel like he was, just settling into it perfectly. And he went to his boss and basically said, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. He was discouraged. And for a time, he wanted to give up. And he says this superior said to him, God didn't call us to quit. You can't delight yourself in the Lord by being a quitter. If Christ had been a quitter, then no one would have had no one would have an opportunity to be born into the kingdom of God. Christ endured a savage beating and marred him beyond recognition, and then was brutally murdered so we could one day obtain eternal life, become part of the God family, and help him rule the earth and the universe forever. That is a horrifying sacrifice to pay for our breathtaking reward. But he never quit. He never threw in the towel. He never gave up. He just kept right on fighting for us, sacrificing for us. You know, we've played this montage before, President Trump. I think we've played it like 3 times, where you've got him narrating or reading a speech, and then all of this inspiring footage. But the message is, look, don't give up. Don't quit. Some are saying Matt Gaetz gave up. Who knows? He's been pretty hardcore MAGA from the beginning, so he's got some fight in him, as you'll see here in just a second. But think about these past 9 years. Just to, again, use a political example, what would have happened if anywhere along the way Donald Trump would have given up? He could have quit. They tried to assassinate him. He could have quit on July 14th. They tried to assassinate him again on September 16th. They tried to put him in prison for 700 years. They tried to destroy him financially. They assassinated his character over and again. They impeached him twice. All of this lawfare, this litigation, these indictments, political assassination. They've been doing it from day one. And he never, to his credit, he did not give up. He would not quit. The Federalist has a piece on just what Trump's going up against, not from the radical left. I mean, that's obvious, but the GOP establishment, the rhinos. And you saw a lot of rhinos last night. Oh, were they ever happy? They hate Matt Gaetz. I mean, the fact that they hate him so much, it tells you a lot of what you need to know about who Matt Gaetz is. He's made some enemies along the way, but so has Donald Trump. So did Jesus Christ. They crucified Christ. People hated Jesus Christ and his message. I mean, you've seen that play out in world history for thousands of years. And God says, that's okay. Just rest in the eternal. Keep your eyes on the final destination. Look to the end. That's why the Proverbs say we've got to be people of vision. And of course, as God's people, if our perspective is right, it's easy, not easy, but it's possible to just say, hey, whatever's happening that looks bad, I mean, I know this is going to sort out. I know that it's going to work out. Really, I mean, from God's perspective, we just read it in epistles this morning, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, 17, 18, those final few verses, where God just says, look, the way I view your trials and tests, it's just a light affliction. It's just, it passes, you know, like the snap of a finger, and that, it's over. I mean, when you compare it to what God's going to give us, how do you even compare it? This is from, as I say, the Federalist. Gaetz withdrew his name from consideration for Attorney General on Thursday. It was an early setback for Donald Trump that confirms the greatest threat to his agenda isn't Democrats, but establishment Republicans. You could go on and on. Mitch McConnell stabbing Trump in the back yesterday. I could go off on a rant, I suppose. McConnell, the usual suspects. Collins, Murkowski, the guy from right here in Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma and Utah, as red as they are, can also produce their fair share of rhinos. Texas certainly does. Never mind what Busby said. the Bush era in Texas is over. Well, probably not completely. But at the same time, the MAGA movement is ascendant. and we'll see how it plays out. Just knowing what the prophecies say about King Jeroboam, and again, never mind what happened yesterday, but I don't think two or three rhinos are going to slow down the MAGA train. I just don't think it's going to happen. Given what we know from Amos 7, from 2 Kings 14, that's what we rest in, those sure words of prophecy. It mentions the ones that were, at least four GOP senators that were against Gates. Here are those numbers. I mentioned Eric Holder, 75 senators confirmed him. Merrick Garland, he was confirmed in 2021, the first year of the fake presidency. This was Biden's top law enforcement official who has used that agency to attack Donald Trump endlessly. Same with the January 6th protesters. Garland was confirmed 70 to 30. Among the Republicans who voted in favor of Garland, Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, and Lindsey Graham. Yeah, they love them some Merrick Garland. But Matt Gaetz, now that's a bridge too far, at least for McConnell. I think McCornyn was on the fence, or Cornyn. And then, as I say, you have the other ones. And the Federalist here is saying, you know, this is what Trump's going to have to go up against. But even when you compare this time around, as I've noted this week, with 2017, they've lost quite a lot of their mojo. And the dear leader doesn't have quite the power that he had back then. And people don't swoon before him the way that they did. You never know, as some have speculated, if there's a bigger strategy at play being orchestrated by Donald Trump, because there's options for Gates, and there's other options for some of these top positions. And if they get on through quick, as soon as we've got the new Senate, early January, as we've been saying, I mean, it looks like they are ready to hit the ground running, at least with respect to the deportations, the deregulations and all those things. But again, as you watch this montage, this is Matt Gaetz from over the years. This right here, what you're about to see, is why they erupted in rage the moment President Trump nominated him, because they do not want him anywhere near the DOJ. This is clip 11.
Mr. Gaetz, the will of the American people also elected Donald Trump to be the president of the United States in the 2016 election, and there's one party that can't seem to get over it. It's the will of the people you ignore when you continue down this terrible road of impeachment. And you know what? If wiretapping a political opponent's an impeachable offense, I look forward to that Inspector General's report, because maybe it's a different president we should be impeaching.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
Well, you seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI does not and has no interest in protecting anyone.
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing. How many illegal FISA queries have occurred under your leadership of the FBI? More than a million illegal ones? Because that's what the Inspector General said. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment by the Inspector General?
I'm not sure. Actually, that's a correct characterization of the Inspector General's findings on that.
The Internet will remind you of that in moments. Did you not know when you were answering these questions that the FBI was engaging in these illegal searches, or did you perjure yourself to Senator Lee? The FBI has broken so bad that people can go and engage in queries that when you come before the Congress to answer questions, you're like blissfully ignorant. So where is it? The laptop.
Sir, I'm not here to talk about the laptop. I'm here to talk about the FBI cyber program.
You are the assistant director of FBI cyber. I want to know where Hunter Biden's laptop is. You don't know where this is after it was turned over to you 3 years ago. You don't know who has it. You don't know where it is. You're the assistant director. You know, earlier you talked about whether or not you were the Grant Hill or the Christian Leitner. It sounds like you're the Chris Webber trying to call a timeout when you don't have one. So I mean, who is it? Do you even know who has it? Do you know who we should put in that chair to ask these questions to? 1.2 million people are undetained. How many ICE agents do you need to deport them? You have no plan to remove them. You don't know how many ICE agents it would take, and you don't know how much money it would take because you actually don't want to remove them. Oh. I think it's telling that you got plans for pronouns and you got plans for misinformation. But when it comes to the plan to remove the people that have had due process, you don't have one at all. Americans who are the victims of the crimes for the people that you release in the country are collateral damage that you are willing to accept in order to have our border function as a turnstile. And you're willing to accept that collateral damage.
Congressman, I couldn't disagree with you more.
But when you are part of the cover-up, Mr. Durham, then it makes our job harder. And it just seems so facially obvious that it's not what's in your report that's telling. It's the omission. It's the lack of work you did. And for the people like the chairman who put trust in you, I think you let them down. I think you let the country down. And you are one of the barriers to the true accountability that we need.
Well, I don't know if you've ever investigated a crime.
I don't know that you have. You didn't investigate these, Mr. Durham.
Since you're the FBI director, I was just sort of wondering, like, who's running the country? I'm just kind of wondering, with this assassination attempt, with the invasion at our border, with all the Hamas that have been let in that you've talked about and briefed about, like, is Biden up to it? And if he's not up to it, and you're a guy who's been regularly briefing him, like, who's been in on this conspiracy to hide the real Joe Biden from all of us for years? It never occurred to you that this guy wasn't up to it in all these briefings you did?
Just give us the documents, give us the correspondence, and then if it's a conspiracy theory, that will be evident. But when you say, well, we'll take your request, and then we'll sort of work it through the DOJ's accommodation process, then you're actually advancing the very dangerous conspiracy theory that you're concerned about.
You're asking me to comment on a case currently.
Well, it seems you're connecting the dots, Mr. Attorney General. I'm just asking you as to a general principle, but you are aware that Judge Mershon's daughter was profiting off of this prosecution. You are aware that that creates the appearance of impropriety. Like you, I have given my life to the law. I care deeply about the law, and I think that the lawfare we've seen against President Trump will do great damage well beyond our time in public service.
Eric Holder, no problem. Loretta Lynch, no problem. Smooth sailing. Merrick Garland, smooth sailing. Overwhelming support. Bipartisan support. Lots of good Republicans. But this man right here, you can see why they don't want him to be the Attorney General, because they know that he's going to turn the light on them. He's going to expose evil. Look at these top secretaries, such important AG, FBI director. Look at them squirm. I submit to you that Matt Gaetz has made more government officials squirm in their chairs under testimony than probably anyone else in a House committee. That's why they hate him. That's why they hate him. He's a good attorney. He's well-spoken. He knows the facts. But he can't go through because, well, this is what we're told today. Allegations. Allegations of what? Sex addict and drug addict. Okay. Does he look like a drug addict? Are there pictures like there are of Hunter where he looks like a drug addict? Where he obviously is a sex addict? Or was for a long period of time? And there he is on the phone with his father in the room, shaking down a client. And Chris Wray says, he's the FBI director. And Chris Wray says, I'm not going to comment on that. Where's the Hunter laptop? I'm not going to comment on that. What? No wonder they don't want AG Gaetz in the building. We'll see how it ends up. It'd be hilarious in the sense that God is laughing. It would be hilarious if he somehow ends up in the building anyway. This is Jesse Waters last night as he and a guest are discussing, you know, what might be next for Matt Gaetz. Clip two.
The Gaetz thing is interesting because where does he go? Does he go back to Congress? Is he allowed to go back to Congress? What's going on with this ethics investigation report that they're supposed to release if he's in Congress, but don't if he's not? Does he get a job at the DOJ that's non-Senate confirmed? Does he get a job as the justice czar? Do they want to run him for governor of Florida if DeSantis wants to be senator? There's a lot of moves for them to make with him, right?
Well, there is. And keep in mind, one of the more powerful and influential positions in DOJ is the attorney general's chief of staff. That would not require the confirmation. I mean, that's a very real possibility. The ability to influence the moves in DOJ could come as, you know, come from that position as well as any. But look, Matt Gaetz has a bright future. I think he certainly has eyes on holding office again.
Yeah, they could even name him special prosecutor to go after the weaponization. That would that would be a turn of events.
A new and fearsome special prosecutor that has actual authority to do something. That would be great.
If he ends up in a position where he has actual authority to do something, that would be there. There are the tables and they're turning. If you look even at the regime, the way they responded, some of them, I know the rhinos were happy to see the walls closing in on Gaetz, finally. But when you look at the regime and the way they reacted to the president announcing Pam Bondi just a few hours later, well, here's a sampling, clip 10.
Trump today had to give up on his choice of a MAGA loyalist from Florida who is a fixture on Fox News and will instead be nominating a MAGA loyalist from Florida who is a fixture on Fox News. Trump has chosen former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi to be his next pick for United States Attorney General. Bondi was, again, part of Trump's legal team that tried and failed to prove Trump's election conspiracies in court. She will be every bit the loyalist that Matt Gaetz would have been, just with a little more legal experience and a little less baggage, or so it seems.
Well, Caitlin, she's way more qualified than Matt Gaetz. Let's start with that. Pam Bondi is, without a question, qualified to be attorney general. She's been a prosecutor for 20 years in Florida. For 8 of those, she was the attorney general of the state. That's a very big, very complicated job. And that level of experience is on par with or better than most United States attorneys general that we've seen over the past 50 years or so. But I think the big problem with Pam Bondi is she was a vocal 2020 election denier.
You know, my recollections of Pam Bondi were of leading the locker up chants at the 2016 Republican convention, and of being in every way a political actor on behalf of Donald Trump. He gets in her what he wants, which is he wants someone who will be responsive to him first, not the duties of the attorney general or the Constitution. He wants to have political control over the Justice Department. And she,
well, one reaction I got from inside the Justice Department last night was, this is Matt Gaetz with a better legal resume. But the legal resume is significant, Willie and guys, because Pam Bondi was a career prosecutor. At the same time, though, she is, you know, an extreme MAGA activist and has tainted her legal career with very strong stands in favor of some questionable things.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear, because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job.
She's been with Trump from the beginning, has defended him through the impeachments, defended him through the election steal. So again, there's mixed reviews on the conservative side. Sundance is upset, but coming back to the prophecies, coming back to resting in the Lord, Psalm 37. I mean, God is the one who said that he'll give America a resurgence. God is the one who said he would bring back Jeroboam, and he did. And as I covered with you yesterday, I mean, he's learned a lot of lessons, even just looking at it politically. He's learned a lot of lessons going through the trials and the persecutions that he's endured through. and he hasn't quit. He didn't quit. So it'll be interesting to watch the road ahead as he forms his government. There's been some speculation that Kash Patel could be the FBI director. Others have said Mike Rogers, who seems like he's a rhino. In any event, you listen to commentators like this, and you get a pretty good idea right away of who the better pick would be. This is clip 8.
So in my estimation, Caitlin, no part of the FBI's mission is safe with Kash Patel in any position of leadership in the FBI, and certainly not in the deputy director's job.
That is Andy McCabe. He's a criminal that got hired by CNN. He's a criminal after getting fired by the FBI. And there he is saying how Kash Patel would be a disastrous pick. That's how you know, friends. That's how you know that Kash would probably do pretty well. We'll see what happens. It's interesting that President Trump has waited, that he's made a lot of other picks pretty quickly, but he hasn't made the pick yet for FBI. We'll see. I've got to transition to this story because I think it is important. You'll probably get more of it or on it in Trumpet World or at the website. But this is Angela Merkel, who's off in retirement now, and she's advanced in years, and she was seen as the gentle lady leading Germany for so many years, a grandmotherly type. At Politico, it says, Merkel eviscerates emotional Trump in upcoming memoir. I mean, if this is the way Angela Merkel thinks, what do you think the ruling class, for the most part, there's a few exceptions, but what do you think the ruling class thinks of Donald Trump? The return of Jeroboam. What do you think they think of the MAGA movement? America first. What do you think they think of the tariffs that Donald Trump has promised? It says, for Trump, all countries were in competition with each other, in which the success of one was the failure of the other. He did not believe that the prosperity of all could be increased through cooperation. I mean, he wasn't a good globalist, she says. We spoke on two different levels, Trump on an emotional level and me on a factual one. She sounds like she'd be a great commentator at the failing MSNBC. When I flew home, I didn't have a good feeling, she said. I concluded with my conversations, there would be no joint work for a networked world with Trump. You just can't work with him. Further on, it says, he was obviously very fascinated by the Russian president. In the years that followed, I had the impression that politicians with autocratic and dictatorial traits captivated him. As I say, she sounds like she's an MSNBC commentator. She sounds like she's a believer in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. It's amazing how much Europeans hate Donald Trump. They hate America first. It tells you something about what they really and truly think about America, particularly a powerful America, and whether or not they really want a powerful America on the scene. Herbert Armstrong was talking about this level of animosity, maybe hidden within following the destruction of World War II all across Europe. But he told us, and it was based on Bible prophecy, that Germany and Europe would come roaring back. And we told you earlier this week how Europe's going to respond to Russian aggression as it's moved through Ukraine now, all under Joe Obama's watch. There are developments that are going to accelerate the signature prophecy, the fulfillment of the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong. And they're happening in Ukraine. They're happening in the United States. And you can also, we were just discussing, some of us this morning, you can see or consider scenarios where as the populist movements in Europe take root and take off, you can see where there'd be seemingly a strong alliance between them and MAGA. But we know it's not going to work out in the end. We know Europe. We know the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. We know it's going to stab the nations of Israel in the back, which is why articles such as these, I think, are so revealing. If Angela Merkel thinks this about Trump, what does Zu Gutenberg think? Well, we know because we've written about it at the Trumpet. You know if you're a Trumpet subscriber. If you aren't a subscriber, call our operators and get tomorrow's news today. Get the news, the prophecies that you can rest in. Rest in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7, the 800 number 1-866-930-3024. We're talking about the acceleration of these prophecies. Newsweek had a piece, German government collapse is a bad sign for Europe. It says Germany's traffic light coalition is dead. We've covered some of that with you previously. It says while the world's gaze has been fixed on America and Donald Trump's reelection, Germany's situation is equally pressing. I mean, this happened on the same day. It was the day after the election of Trump. And Germany's government collapses. This article says it's the end of an era in European politics. It says, after all, Europe's economy is under siege from the East, and, well, it gets into some of the trade imbalances and such. It says, and in the West, a Trump-shaped storm is rolling in. The U.S. president-elect's proposed 10% tariff on all imports threatens to drain 260 billion euro from Europe's economy. They're not going to be fans of the MAGA movement. They're not fans of Trump's policies. They're not fans of Trump. It says here, in the meantime, Europe faces a far more urgent challenge, financing its future without plunging into debt. Further on, it says about France, the problems there. Any deviation from the harsh fiscal path could tip its fragile government over the edge. It says this is becoming a dangerous trend, and it mentions all of these troubles in these nations, in Europe, people struggling for fiscal survival. And then this, Germany's collapse is the most alarming of all as the economic heart of Europe. Herbert Armstrong called it the beating heart of Europe. It accounts for nearly a quarter of the EU's GDP. This embargo on Russian energy already dealt it a staggering blow, but the political fallout could prove just as damaging. Without decisive action, it could trigger a domino effect that topples governments across the continent. All of this turmoil to the east with Vladimir Putin in Russia, right there at home in Europe, in Germany, the beating heart. And then now the rise or the return of Jeroboam. And if that article about Angela Merkel's memoir, if that is in the least bit the sentiment of so many other European elites behind closed doors, well, you can see that this world is heading for an explosion of violence, trade wars, hot wars. We talked yesterday at length about the prophesied resurgence. And that's here in the States, I mean. And that's real. But when you consider the aggression of Putin together with the resurgence of America, Europe is going to be stirred to act like never before. To build and to develop their own military. To rely on themselves. Their own economy. To fight back against tariffs. To ally themselves with other nations in trade wars. All these things we talk about, they're mentioned in Bible prophecy. That's why that verse, Psalm 37, verse 7, is so comforting. You can know, you can read tomorrow's news today in the Trumpet magazine, in the Holy Bible, and then rest in the Lord. We're going to conclude with one, maybe one break if we have time. The guys in the control room can decide. And then we'll come back and finish today's show with this week's segment of World Watch. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week. Enjoy World Watch, and we'll see you next time.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
China opened a major port in Chiang Kai, Peru last week. China Ocean Shipping Company will operate the port, which lies about 50 miles north of Peru's capital. The port will reduce shipping time from Peru to Asia by 13 days, linking Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and Chile closer to China. It is the first South American Pacific port deep enough to accommodate modern megaships. China is a major competitor of the United States, and Beijing's expansion onto America's doorstep is an ominous sign. The Bible warns that a worldwide alliance is forming that will block the U.S. out of trade. China is prophesied to play a major role in this alliance. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches the Development of a Massive Anti-American Trade Bloc. Poland has begun construction on a $2.4 billion, 400-mile-long East Shield along its border with Russia and Belarus, the Daily Mail reported on November 13th. The project will include anti-tank fortifications, bunkers, minefields, barbed wire, and other obstacles to defend the border. The defensive system will also include anti-drone systems and surveillance technologies powered by artificial intelligence to help with early detection of threats. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk announced the project in May, saying it is intended to deter the enemy from aggression against our allies or against our country. Tusk added that the East Shield will include a satellite component as another element of safety in space, making the country ready for the wars of the future. The project is set to be completed in 2028. Bible prophecy indicates that European nations like Poland will continue to militarize due to their fear of Russia. A militaristic European superpower is about to rise that will play a major role in world events. To learn more about these prophecies, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Russia's War on Ukraine is Reshaping Europe. India is confident it will reach $100 billion in bilateral trade with Russia before the 2030 target, India's foreign minister said on November 11th at the India-Russia Business Forum in Mumbai. Since Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022, Western sanctions have forced Russia to increasingly rely on the Asian market to export its crude oil. In July of 2022, India permitted the payments of international trade in rupees to provide an alternative for Russia and others to settle international payments. India has become a large importer of Russian oil at discount prices, most of which it processes and sells to Europe. Trade between Russia and India is currently at $66 billion, largely consisting of these oil imports. India's economic support of Russia is not surprising to those familiar with Bible prophecy. The Bible foretells of a massive Asian bloc called the Kings of the East. This alliance will be led by Russia and will include India and China. To learn about this alliance in detail, read Russia and China in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.